Nerdaholics, it's the Nerd Tribal Podcast.
Hello, all you Synthaholics out there. My name is Holly, and I am on the show this week with both the other Synthaholics. Who's here today?
Hey, I'm Aaron O'Brien.
Hey, I'm David, but not his twin.
We're binars.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning into the show, guys. If you love the show and you enjoy listening to it, go ahead, please share it with your friends, Twitter, Facebook. You can tag us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo and join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics.
Join the fun. Join the fun.
Yeah. Lots of conversations, Star Trek news, some inappropriate memes here and there.
Inappropriate ones are the bestest ones.
Oh yeah, the most inappropriate ones will definitely come from David. Don't you worry.
Feel free to beat me.
Give him a run for his money.
Mm-hmm.
So we are all super duper excited to be where we are today, and where we are today is we've got another new Star Trek show, and it's our beloved Picard show. So that's what we're discussing today, episode one of Star Trek Picard. Who else excited?
Pickard.
We've built this date up so much. It's like kids on Christmas. So it's everyone's like, oh my God. I think we should kind of just talk a little non-spoilers in just the beginning. I expect most people have watched it by now.
Mm-hmm. Most people have already heard other people's stuff on it by now. We're late. Our recording time is just late. I'm sorry, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. I work overnight, so this is pretty much the only time that works.
Don't apologize. We're giving them time to process and absorb.
Right.
And we're the premier podcast on Star Trek anyway, so I mean, yeah. Everyone else's opinions are just, like, barely educated.
Yeah.
I'm joking, but I mean, like, you know, as we do.
As you were, sir. Anyways, guys, just quick takeaways, just without getting into full details. Within a short paragraph, Dave, what did you think?
I want 2-hour premieres back. 1 hour isn't enough, and splitting into two episodes that they did with Discovery also wasn't the greatest. It's sort of sets things up, but then it kind of resets itself. And we need the 2-hour premieres again. Please give us that back. That's mostly my takeaway. Non-spoiler. I mean, it's setting up for stuff, but don't know exactly what yet. It's very preliminary.
How about you, Holly?
I really enjoyed it. Whether it's enjoyment because of the nostalgia of the character being back, I don't know. But there were good action sequences. There's, you know, you got to think about what you're watching, what you're listening to. I loved it. As far as spoilers, I don't know what I can and can't say at this point. I really enjoyed it. I don't understand really why other people haven't enjoyed it, but to each their own.
I think I loved seeing, obviously, Patrick Stewart coming back as Picard. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I think I sort of agree with Dave. It just felt like the show didn't get a lot of traction for the first episode. I kind of felt like we just started, and then it was like, then wait till next week. And I was like, ugh. So that was the one thing. And I think it has some very interesting ideas. They're being thrown out there right away, but I don't know how they're going to shape up, and obviously we're just going to have to see how the rest of the season, you know, how they form, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
I mean, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like episode 7. Like, it was really hard for me to judge how episode 7, how my feelings were about episode 7 initially.
Are we talking about Star Wars?
Star Wars episode 7.
Okay.
Because since it was such a retread of episode 4, its quality would be determined by the sequel movies and how they made use of what they did. And I felt the whole trilogy was lacking because they didn't really bother following it up with anything good. So, I mean, episode 7 is just kind of a wash for me. So until we see how the rest of the context fits around episode 1 of Picard, I mean, like, my initial reactions aren't super positive, but I mean, it is potentially leading somewhere. So, I mean, it could be interesting. It's just hard for me to say one way or the other until we know more.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into full spoilers. If you haven't seen Picard, the first episode, Remembrance, you know, you can either keep listening or turn us off and go and watch it right away, because what do you do and listen to us? So this is obviously season one, episode one of the first episode of Season of Picard, aired January 23rd, 2020, and the episode's called Remembrance. And we start off the episode with Data and Jean-Luc Picard playing poker at 10 forward in the Enterprise D with the old next-gen ship.
Poker face, poker face.
Rah, 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 rah. So,
stick it up my butt.
Enterprise D was pretty great graphics there. That was a nice ship shot.
They didn't change it. Thank goodness.
I really liked about the scene was the music, actually.
Music. Interesting. Yeah. You come up with the most things that I like. It, Holly, always come up with stuff I didn't like initially pick up on. That's really interesting. No, I think it's great. I'm always like, you stuff you come up with is like, oh, I never would have thought of that.
Wasn't it the song Data sang at Riker and Troy's wedding?
Yeah, that was...
Blue Sky.
Yeah, Bing Crosby. It's Denise Crosby's whatever great-grandfather, uncle.
Father something. Yeah, they're related closely.
Yeah, Blue Skies. And that was, obviously, Data sang that in Nemesis, and B4 was trying to sing that. And just before. What's that? And failing. Anyways, so Picard's just like drawing out this game of poker, which is extremely hard to do if you ever played poker. It's hard to.
Would you like tea? Would you like sugar in it? Would you like cream in it? Would you like me to finger you?
Are you Michael Caine?
I'm Michael Caine.
And then they look down and they are at Mars, and Mars gets blown up, and we're not quite sure what's happening there.
And
but
Data won with 5 queens.
Yeah, 5 queens.
That's how you know it was a dream, because there's only 4 queens in poker.
Well, they were all hearts as well.
Yes. I wonder if that's a Borg reference with the queens.
I think it is. Someone on the Facebook group was saying there was 5 Qs, because I was saying Counter Farpoint was made by Q. And they're like, oh, there's 5 Qs in the opener. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, look at the poker game. I'm like, oh, well, that's probably more in reference to maybe 5 different Borg queens than anything they do with the Q. Although I really want Q.
I've heard rumors that there might be a Q in there, because I saw there was a scene with somebody with a red glove that looked like Q's from the very first episode of Counter Funk 4-point. But that's pure
speculation.
Pure rumor, speculation rumor. Anyways, so Picard wakes up and he is back at the vineyards in France. Jolly old France.
Yes, with the number one.
With number one, his old dog.
So cute.
Yes. And so he wakes up, and so he's there. So, and then we get to meet the character Daj. She is with her boyfriend, which is, what do we call them? The Zane?
Zane's? The same race as the queen from Discovery Short Treks.
Yes.
And also randomly showed up to help them at the last battle in season 2.
Seems to have Play-Doh hair.
Yes, the hair was weird.
I could go
it
with
that. Reminded me of a cartoon I used to watch that I can never remember the name of.
Mm.
Had this character with like blue hair like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, they're obviously boyfriend, girlfriend, and they're hanging out in her place when all of a sudden, she says that she was accepted
to Daystrom.
Daystrom Institute for Artificial Intelligence and Quantum Consciousness. And so they're kind of celebrating, and then all of a sudden these guys in motorcycle helmets attack her, beam in, attack her, throw a knife in her boyfriend, which is so rude.
I was going to peg him later, guys. You don't have to throw a knife at him.
I was
going
to do that. You didn't have to do it for me. Anyways.
In his butt, though.
That's how Daj talks now. Anyways, so all of a sudden, Daj is they surround Dash and they throw a black bag over her head. And
is she activated? Is she activated?
I don't know. She seems to. They say she activates, and all of a sudden she becomes a killing machine. And she
turns into River from Serenity.
She takes out. Yeah, she takes out everybody with a bag over her head. So
super gracefully. I loved that.
So it's pretty crazy. So I'm like, wow. So she knows what she's doing, and she doesn't see
Kung Fu.
So, and then she gets
downloaded from the Matrix.
That's right. It's all Matrix.
It's Shio.
And so, then she gets a vision of Jean-Luc Picard's face. And then she's like, oh, I guess I got to go to Jean-Luc. So,
I've got an old guy fetish. Well, she doesn't
know exactly who he is yet.
Exactly. She just sees his face. She's like, who's this old dude in my head?
It's a sign. I don't like young men anymore. I have an old man fetish.
Anyways, no one.
I'm going to take his vineyard from him and sell it for lots of money.
She's a gold digger. She ain't nothing but a gold digger. Jump back to Chateau Picard, and he's walking through the fields and the grapevines and checking things out with his dog. And this is where we meet Hollow. You meet the two Romulans, the Tal Shiar Romulans, Lars and Zaban.
Mm-hmm, from Countdown.
Did the Tal Shiar teach him how to be really good chefs around the house?
I think they did. Hmm. Yeah.
It's like companion school, but for Romulans.
It's like second semester teaching culinary arts. So they're. You can see that they've known each other for a while. There's some banter between them, obviously, so they're comfortable with each other. And this is supposed to be a big day because FNN News is interviewing Picard, and they want to talk about what happened with the Romulus evacuation. Yeah, the evacuation and everything that happened between there.
It's his first interview since he quit Starfleet.
Right. So there are supposed to be certain things they were not going to talk about.
The Tal Shiar guy's lost his edge. He didn't threaten her enough to not want to bring that stuff up.
It'd be funny if he threw a knife like right by her head.
You know? I'm pretty sure that bitch would have talked about it anyway. She was on a mission.
She was. She was going for it. So interesting how she frames the question, too, that Romulan, obviously the Romulan home star was going to go supernova, and that they needed to be rescued in Starfleet. The Federation was going to do that, lend a hand. And she kind of says, why would we want to save millions of Romulan lives? And Picard's like, their lives. We need to save them, no matter what. And but what happened, unfortunately, during this building of this our rescue armada was the Utopia Planitia fleet yards, which are above Mars, was attacked by synthetic life forms.
And we see these get attacked in the Children of Mars short trek. And for whatever reason, they're building 150-year-old ships.
Well, maybe they're just updating old ships and just using whatever they have.
I was wondering if this is the... this is where Geordi was.
Yes, that's what we saw him in the beginning of that countdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think Geordi got killed?
Well, it's possible.
It's very possible. He wasn't on the planet, but...
Those two kids' parents got killed. It'd be funny if Geordi was in the background, like, whipping them in the short track.
Don't work!
Yes, that's very in character.
Yeah, because he can play the opposite character he played in Roots.
Oh, that is so wrong. I can't believe you just did that. Anyways.
Space Roots.
That's terrible. All right. So anyways, during the interview, Picard walks out. He's like, yeah, okay, we're done with this interview. So, but it seemed to be that Picard was upset with the Federation for abandoning the Romulan people when all this went down. But, I mean...
Romulans are a warp-capable race. Why were they in so much trouble?
Maybe logistically a lot of people to move. I could be wrong, but...
I mean,
they're proud people. They didn't want to admit that they had a problem and needed help.
I mean, but they literally have an empire. That's not like a small planet that just doesn't have enough resources. I mean, if you have an empire, you've got resources. I don't know. It just seems kind of strange that they needed so much help to get their people evacuated.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that, I don't know, it's hard to wrap your brain around, because Picard basically says that it was no longer Starfleet, and that that the Starfleet withdrew and the galaxy was in mourning, and he calls it dishonorable and downright criminal. So anyways, during this time when this is being aired, Daj is walking down the street after her attack, and she sees Picard's face on one of the view screens, and so she recognizes him. So you know she's going to go after and go and find him. So mm-hmm. then we're back at Picard's vineyards, and this is where Daj shows up, and this is where they first meet. So she says that she sees his face. She doesn't know why she should know him, but she saw him, and she says that everything inside me says I'm safe with you. Mm-hmm. So this is basically the beginning of building their their relationship between each other.
Data was so safe with them.
So they fix Lars and Zaban fix up Daj, and they sit down, they talk, and she's kind of just trying to figure out what's going on, and we get some nice reaction between each other, because she says something like, do you ever feel like you're a stranger to yourself? And Picard says, many times. And so I thought it was a good kind of character look at both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he gives Daj a room to sleep for the night, and when a necklace that has two rings, and she's
two circles intertwined. Not quite yes. An infinity signal, but
right. So Picard has another dream while he falls asleep that night, and this time they're back in his old uniform, and he sees Data painting out in the vineyard, and Data is painting painting up a woman like on a stormy seashore, and Picard says Data asks him to finish it, and he says I don't know how, and Picard answers I don't know how, but Data says he does, and when he wakes up from the dream, he turns around, and that painting is hanging on his mantle above, behind him, and he goes to find Daj and finds that she's gone, and she left early that morning before anybody got up, so she took off. Picard decides he's going to travel to the Starfleet Archive Museum, where he goes into like a room that's all Picard's belongings, and we get this
like a big lockbox.
It's a bank.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a yeah.
Space bank.
So we get a cool scene where he opens up the holding of another painting of the same thing that Data did that's hanging on his mantle. But this has Daj's face on it that's finished. And it's so obviously it seems bizarre that Data would be able to paint Daj's face exactly, you know, years before she would have been born.
Mm-hmm.
So and the title of this is Daughter. So
I thought you said Dodger at first. I was like, oh, Dodger.
She's a Dodger. She plays
baseball. That's kind of cool, I guess.
I guess that's cool, guys.
Yes, it's cool.
Makes total sense.
And then later, I heard them say daughter. I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. Dodger. I was like, Dodge, because her name is Dodge. I was like, oh, she's a Dodger. But
it sounded weird. For now on, every time you talk like Picard, you gotta talk like Cartman.
Okay? He can't. He's kind of cute, I guess.
Anyways, so we're in Paris. Daj is just taking. This is where she took off. She went to Paris, where all runaways go to, I guess. And she gets a holographic communication with her mom, and she tells her that she should go back to Picard. And she goes, "I never told you I was with Picard." And
she lies, and she's like, "Of course you did.
Of course you did.
You're gaslighting me, Mom." So,
and Kitty's being a dildo.
So this is where she decides she is going to go back. So she does like a search through a security system to find Picard, and all of a sudden you realize that there's no possible way that a human could do what she's doing right now. It's too fast. So there's something totally like odd about this girl. So maybe she is Data's daughter. So when Picard is walking out of the archives building, he runs into Daj, and she confides him that she thinks that she might be schizophrenic or something else is wrong. And Picard's like, "No, I don't think so." And then she he tells her about Data, and she was and kind of tells her who Data was to him. So that he was, you know, a highly decorated officer, and how he saved everybody for the Enterprise crew during Star Trek Nemesis. So
she's like, "Am I a fake person?"
So he thinks it might be special, and this is where we get the whole the attack comes again with these what's it called?
Romulans in motorcycle helmets.
Yeah, exactly. The motorcycle gang shows back up, and unfortunately, Dodge is incinerated with a disruptor blowing up. So
Romulan bites down on a suicide pill, but they don't suicide pill with something easy like cyanide. No. We're going to have acid that'll just burn him from the inside out.
Explosive acid. Yeah.
That was pretty, and I thought her like burning up was like pretty graphic. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit. So
she again, dead, but don't worry. Don't worry. You can kill main characters all day long as long as they got twins.
Yeah, so we
Picard's blown back by the explosion, and then he wakes up at Chateau.
He wakes up again in the Chateau. So this is the third time he's woken up in the Chateau in this episode.
Maybe
so
the entire series is a dream, and the Federation never went down the shithole. Everything about that. Maybe.
I like that. So anyways, Picard says something like he hasn't been living. He's been waiting to die, and he decides he's going to get off his ass, and he's going to figure out what's going on with this thing that happened with Dodge. So he goes to the Daystrom Institute in Okinawa, and he meets this doctor, Dr. Angie Dranti, and
I'm sad she wasn't a Zimmerman.
Yeah, that's true. So he asked if it's possible to make a sentient android out of flesh and blood, and she says, "No, you can't." Especially they've made it. They basically outlawed the whole division of advanced synthetic research, and she takes him into this lab where barely anybody's there, and they open a drawer. They see B4 disassembled, and basically the whole thing is that if we remember back to Measure of Man, we met the character Bruce Maddox, who tried to get Data sequestered under his command so we could disassemble him and
recreate it.
Yeah. So
Data's race die.
He never gave up, but unfortunately after this ban, he kind of went crazy and he became a hermit and ran off.
I hope he's got long hair and is like living in some bog, just like Mr. Noonien Soong did. I hope he's just like become him.
Or like Yoda. It'd be great if he was like Yoda.
Well, yeah, but didn't androids you seek? Yes. No, but like, wasn't Soong also like a when they found him? Like, wasn't he also on like some like boggy planet, like living?
Yeah, he was. When him and Lore, Anyway, so she says that this possible that it was working, that they could do this flesh and blood, a version of a android, but you needed Data's neuronet, which it was lost in the when he was incinerated on Shinzon's ship. So, but if it's possible that if they got some kind of piece of his neuronet, that maybe they could have tried to recreate something like that. So it's possible that Data might have his daughter created through Maddox. And the thing is that they would have had twins, so there would have been two of them.
Yeah, the technology to do it was like a cloning process.
That always
had to do it in pairs.
And then from there, so if there's another one, we get sent over to see a Romulan ship flying, and it goes into a giant, we find out later, is a giant Borg cube, but we get this Romulan comes and meets Soji. Soji is Dash's exact lookalike twin. And
or as we know, clone.
Yes, clone, yeah. Right. This guy, this Romulan, Narek, says he wants to talk to her about a sad story. And we zoom out and we see where they are inside a reclaimed Borg cube.
Secondhand Borg cube, I'll sell it to you for $50,000 down.
50,000 credits. So I got 60.
60.
So, and that wraps up this episode.
Sold to the Romulan without the cyanide pill.
All right, Dave, do you want to go last or want to go first?
I'll go last. I need to know why I'm wrong.
How about I go first this time?
Okay.
Do it to it.
I felt this was a little bit stop and go. Like, I felt when Dodge got attacked first, I was like, okay, we're like going full throttle here, which was cool. And then it kind of slowed down again. And I was like, okay, we're slowing down again. And then we get the attack in San Francisco. And I was like, oh, Dodge just get incinerated. Holy shit. And then we slow down again. And it's like, and Picard's kind of like waking up constantly and hanging out in the vineyard. I just felt like the pacing seemed off to me.
I completely agree.
It wasn't like terrible in any stretch of the imagination, but it was just like, I just felt it was clunky feeling. I like the story. I like the idea where they're going with it. I love that they're bringing back Bruce Maddox, was like a complete throwaway character from like season one, you know.
I think he's referenced a couple times beyond
they
that.
They do. But I mean, it's basically, I think he showed up again too. Didn't he show up one more time? I can't remember.
I think he like Data was sending him like daily routines and stuff.
Nude pictures.
Oh yeah. Like I'll dong all the day. I mean, all the day long. Because he's also trying to make a Tasha clone so they can bang again, at least in a holodeck or something.
But anyways, I kind of felt like this was setting up a landscape for everything, and I was cool with that, and I was cool kind of like easing back into the Picard. You know, here's a guy basically in his retirement twilight years. Like this is, you know. This is like going to Florida or wherever you want to go, Phoenix, Arizona, to retire.
Star Trek nursing home.
Yes, exactly. You know, let the Tal Shiar Romulans take care of you, you know.
I shat my diaper, fix it.
Beam it away. But I felt like it didn't have any zing to it. I just felt like it started. It's when it felt like it was going to get started, it kind of slunk back, and that's where I kind of like it lost me a little bit. But I think they're if the rest of this goes to where I think it could be going, they're laying out the canvas, the landscape to be really interesting, and I could really get into this. But obviously, this thing's just started to get good, and then they just like, wait till next episode. So that's where I'm at. Holly, how about you?
Well, I agree with your stop and go stuff, but as you were talking about it, and you know, you were kind of talking about how it was really slow paced, and he was kind of like, I don't know, I can't remember the word you used, but I think it was purposeful, because there's a line in the episode where when Picard wakes up after Dodge is incinerated, and he says, I haven't been living, I've been waiting to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's time to start living.
The sleeper has awakened.
So I think they kind of needed the kind of back and forth in the episode to, and apparently it didn't work for you guys to get you guys excited about his change by the end of the episode. But yeah, I think it was purposeful. Again, I really enjoyed the episode. I love that Picard has a pit bull who's his little guard dog, and his name is Number One. I think that's adorable. The intro, you know, we talked a lot about, or at least I talked a lot about the intro when I first started watching Discovery, and it didn't always change with the episode in Discovery, but sometimes there were small changes that you could pick up on the intro for Discovery, and I think that this intro is kind of similar. You know, you've got the sky falling, and you've got it falls into the vineyard, and then it falls through the vineyard and to a Borg cube. You see it morph into either an eyeball or a black hole, and then you actually see an eyeball, the destruction of Mars, and then all these broken pieces come to form Picard, and I really loved that as just a piece of artwork, you know? It was a really cool intro.
Very well done, yeah.
Yeah.
I think more thought went into that than Discoveries.
Maybe. You guys don't watch TV with me, but
You moved away to California, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, I know. When Dodge first gets to the chateau and, you know, she says everything inside of me says that I'm safe with you, I had a hunch that maybe somehow she was related to Data. And then later on that same evening, very soon after that, they're talking and she says, no, I know you, and it's deeper. It's older than that. And I was like, deeper. Yeah. this is somehow related to Data. And so I was kind of hooked by that point, and that was pretty early on in the episode because I wanted to see where they were going with it. I feel like the mom is either a bad guy or one of the programmers, maybe both.
I think you're right. I think it was a plant in her memory.
Yeah.
Something like
that. See how it glitched when she needed to lie? Yeah. Mm-hmm, so I don't know. It was really weird. I was kind of because of the flower that she talks about, the orchid. Dodge Oncinium orchid. I was really expecting her sister's name to be Oncinium.
Yeah.
So I don't know why her name is Soji, but whatever.
Maybe Soji's Japanese for Oncinium.
Maybe. I loved the choreography. The choreography was awesome. Aside from Dodge, jumping up 7 flights of stairs in one bound.
Plus 30 feet straight forward, too.
Yeah, it all looked pretty great.
From that. that made me feel like I was watching a superhero movie, and I'm like, this isn't a superhero movie, it's a Star Trek.
Right. But it does show a lot of the capabilities that this clone has, which is impressive and may come to be good information for the future. I mean, the assassins were willing to kill her rather than let her go uncaptured, and I think that's pretty important.
Right.
And who knows if she actually was incinerated. Who knows if maybe, there's nothing on the security cams, so who knows if the assassins and Dodge, instead of being incinerated, were just somehow transported somewhere else.
Good point.
Who
very
knows?
Nice. Yeah, very, very astute.
Yeah, and then that's pretty much it. I don't like, they say his name, I don't like the broody Romulan assassin-looking guy.
Oh, Zaban? Is that his name? Or Lars? I can't remember which one's which.
I don't know. The one that's with Soji, and he's probably going to fuck
my brother died.
What?
Oh, yeah, my brother died. I was kind of sad. It's like, Soji's like, oh, yeah, my sister just died just now.
Oh, that guy.
It was pretty peculiar.
At the very end.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him.
Yeah, so that's obviously from the... It seems like from the next previews or whatever we saw that he's
going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but exactly. You got it. I got it from the moment you see him. I was like, it's probably part of the music too. Probably gave it away. But yeah, he's a total bad guy.
Well, they remixed the music from the original Romulan music from Balance of Terror for that scene.
Did they?
At least on the pullout.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it was cool. It was cool music on the pullout for sure.
Mm-hmm. How about you, buddy?
I mean, it is the show's setting up for some interesting things, and I want to talk about good things before I go into what I issues with. Like bringing up Bruce Maddox, awesome. I love that they brought it up. I love the Enterprise D was completely unchanged and it looked nice for a little bit. We got to see it. Data CGI was a lot better in the show than it was in the preview. Like, his face looked more normal.
Hair looks a little weird.
The hair's definitely weird, but the face looks a little bit better. The color's better than it was in the preview. So, I mean, they did some upgrades, I think. So, I mean, there's some really nice things. I do think they're building up for something great. I think there's too many hands in the pot. There's like 60 producers in the beginning of the show. You saw more producers than actors. And there's also 5 writers on this episode.
There's 5 writers on this,
I'm just like, how many people does it take to write an episode of television?
Well, yeah. maybe they're considered writers, but they're fact checkers or, dare we say, experts.
I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe. Time will tell, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems like everything's like being pulled every which way, and there's definitely a pacing issue. And pacing issue is probably because 5 writers are trying to get 5 different ideas out, and they have to like slow it down, speed it up, for one thing. Also, not a huge fan of them killing a new character in the first episode just because she has a twin. It seems like a very contrived and very like cliche thing that happens.
Harsh to me. It seemed harsh to me. I would have liked to see Dodge like live. I was like, I was just got to know this character, and then I'm like, oh, guess I won't get to know her anymore.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just doesn't. It's like Arium dying all over again. Like, he didn't even get enough time to know her before they killed her. Like, the death is basically meaningless other than it's like, oh, they killed the main character, or I guess she wasn't the main character.
I kind of have a counter to that, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm. Way too often in today's cinema, we are seeing characters die that are resurrected. Nobody is ever truly dead. So
no one's ever really gone.
I mean, even though it's the very first episode and it's pretty much smack dab in the middle, yeah, disappointing, but at least it's hopefully acknowledges some kind of finality with death and how serious the situation is.
I mean, I hope so. I'd rather her have a twin than them just resurrect Dodge, because I'm tired of them bringing back characters as soon as they kill them off for, like, no reason.
That happens all the time. I mean, how many times was Laura supposed to be dead and he shows up again?
Yeah! You know? That's what I'm saying. Like, they keep doing it, and it's just like, they need to stop. They need to stop doing that. I really wish they would have,
should have given Laura to Maddox.
I really wish they would have done... Oh, I got an idea about Laura, but what I was what I was trying to say was that I think... Oh, fuck, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Thought about Laura, huh?
Yeah, I thought about Laura, and I got lost.
I interrupted you when you were talking about killing her off so early.
Oh, yeah, twins. So with twins, like, I think I wouldn't have been as upset about the twins thing as if they, like, showed old crazy Maddox cloning Data at the beginning, as the teaser before the credits, and then, like, having twins. And then that would have made it less cliche-ish for me, because, like, if it was established that there was two Data clones or whatever, like, that would have been better for me that they kill one off and one's alive, instead of being like, oh, we killed the main character, but oh, look, she's got a twin, so don't worry. I think if they would have established that as, like, an opening shot, as like, oh, Data will live on in these two little girls, and that's all they had to show.
You would have preferred that prior to her demise rather than right after.
Yeah, because I mean, like, at least that way it's like, oh, okay, so if she dies, you don't have to worry. He can find the twin. And it wouldn't even have had to show her in the first episode necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, you can leave some surprise, but it just, I don't know, like, the way they did it made it feel contrived. And if they did it the other way, I thought it would have felt a little more natural. And then you wouldn't have to show the twin in the same episode.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that their way of sneaking in the little bits that are going to lead to the fact that she's a clone or a twin was that necklace. You see that necklace immediately. Yeah. It's zeroed in on a couple times. It's part of conversation. And then you find out after she's dead that it's a symbol for the process. Like, it represents the process of how she may have been created. So,
yeah.
I think they tried. They did. It was just very subtle, and it was not direct or obvious at all.
So my thought too is that Dodge, when we first meet her in her apartment with her boyfriend, she says she was accepted in Daystrom for the artificial intelligence of quantum consciousness, and if you know anything about quantum, it is quantum entanglement, that certain things are entangled with different particles or different quarks. Two quarks can be completely separated through time and space, and they can be entangled.
And they can pick up the same information and relay information back and forth between them instantaneously with no time for travel because of the entanglement.
So my thought, though, is if Dodge is obviously Soji's twin sister, are they quantum entangled? Mm. And I wonder if she was just actually planted... she just wakes... Like, maybe she activated at some point, maybe... 6 months ago, and Max gives her a bunch of false documents to make her seem legit, and she has given all these false memories, so this is what she is led to believe, that she has a mom, and, you know, she got accepted into Daystrom and all that stuff, so... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe all this stuff is, Maddox is doing, and what is Maddox's agenda, other than creating these two... new artificial life forms.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's my thought. But the other side of it is we are obviously going to touch on the fact that the synthetic life forms attacked, you know, the Mars or the Utopia Phoenicia, shipyard. So this was obviously is a huge issue now, where we saw Measure of a Man, the Data... was even being questioned if he's sentient. So now we have a whole race of artificial intelligent or synthetic life forms, and obviously they do not get along with the Federation. So are they enemies now?
Or did they all get killed? We don't know. Like, we don't know the aftermath of that war. And they also say they don't know why they turned bad. I wonder if they were made with lore as a basis. that would be an easy explanation why they're all turned bad if they were used, you know, if they had Lore's programming or his neurons.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff to get into there. But, I mean, for all that, that means that there's we're going to be touching on the idea of, like, you know, are we ostracizing a group of synthetic life forms for attacking, you know, for the attack on Mars? Or is there something else that's going on, that's at play here? And does Daj and Soshi, how do they play? And how will Picard interact with all that? So, and then we're just, you know, on top of that, why do the Romulans want Daj? You know, what's special about her? So is it more than just Data? Because obviously, if Soji is on the Romulan ship, I mean, on the Romulan base with the Borg cube, do they not know that she's there?
Yeah, that's also weird. They're all trying to capture Daj, but, like, she's literally in the nest of Romulans.
Yeah, so what's that about? And maybe that's a different faction of Romulans. Who knows? So, maybe. I mean, there's a lot going on here that we don't know yet. So this onion has many layers, and we're going to get into each layer.
And there's Borg technology there, so
yeah.
It's possible that Soji is in the know of her origin.
Possible.
It's possible that she knows and Daj did not. It's so many things could be going on here.
Yeah, it could get really deep, and if this is written well, this could be a really fascinating twist on the Star Trek universe. I mean, there's a lot going on here, so it could get really interesting.
There is a lot going on, and this is going to be a short season. This is shorter than Discovery. It's only going to be 10 episodes long, from what they're telling us, and the rumor is they're not even going to have a ship until after episode 3. Early people have screened early episodes. From what I hear, the rumor is they're still earthbound all through episode 3. Like Picard and whoever else is going to go with him.
His team. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so presumably next episode is going to be him going to Starfleet and getting denied. And then episode after that is going to be him assembling his team. And then maybe they can finally get going in episode 4. I just don't know how they're going to drag all that out and not let the plot get going. If that's true, I mean, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I mean, it's hearsay. But
yeah, no, there's a lot to be unpack and there's a lot to think about. But this is some really interesting stuff that's happening here. It's really how they play their cards. They could really tell probably maybe the most intense. Like, you know, earth-changing landscape of the Star Trek universe as we know it. I mean, this could really change a lot what's the future of the Star Trek universe, and it could be really awesome, or it could get really weird.
I don't think it's going to be awesome for the future of the Star Trek universe, because this is clearly playing into dystopian Trek, which is what I was afraid of when we first heard about Season 3 of Discovery, and now Picard is showing the early steps of this dystopian future, and the previews for Discovery Season 3 are clearly showing it. The Federation only has, like, what, 5 or 6 stars left in the flag. And from the sounds of it, that's an old flag. So everything has fallen apart in the future. So it doesn't seem like this is a good trajectory for the Federation and Gene's vision.
Well, everything must come to an end.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, like, it's
true.
It's kind of the antithesis of what Star Trek is.
I agree with you on that part, but
yeah, but if they're going to shift their politics and let that become corrupt, it's not going to remain what Star Trek supposedly is or was founded on.
Right, and hopefully people like, you know, Picard can help steer things to the right direction.
Oh, it's going to be Michael Burnham steering them to the right direction, I think. I think that's the point of them being so far in the future, that she'll bring back the Federation values, and that's what Season 3 of Discovery will be about, be establishing the Federation in the future.
Maybe.
Because supposedly they keep saying that they want to keep Gene's vision alive, so Discovery will show what the aftermath of Picard stuff happens, and then Discovery will try to fix it. That's my guess.
Or Michael Burnham goes back in time and fixes things from there.
Maybe. And totally retcon Picard. Speaking of retconning things, I feel like we might be in a third Star Trek universe, because, I mean, they're clearly referencing stuff that happened in the 2009 movie with Destruction of Romulus.
Sure. But
both plans failed. They were unable to evacuate Romulus and unable to stop the star in time? Did they not evacuate because of Spock? Also, in the Countdown comic that leads up to Star Trek 2009, it is before who is captain of the Enterprise with Data's memories in it. So, like, is this, like, are we building a third timeline here? Like, is this, where are we? I know they keep saying this is the prime timeline, but that comic takes place in the prime timeline because that's how it leads up to Spock going back in time.
And was that comic written by Kurtzman?
Kurtzman and Orci, I think.
Really? It's strange that Kurtzman would have done that. But maybe there's more going on with Before than we knew. Maybe we'll get into that, too. Maybe something was just fundamentally flawed with Before.
Or maybe they decommission him in between. I mean, maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, if it's Before is not the captain of the Enterprise in the third comic, and they haven't decommissioned him yet. I don't know. But it sounds like...
Perhaps because he was such an adolescent... Well, he wasn't really adolescent, but lesser than Data.
Less developed.
Less developed. Maybe he had some kind of hand in what happened, and that's why he was disassembled.
Well, in this universe, I don't think Before ever became captain of the Enterprise, because what they said in Daystrom was that all of Data's memories faded real fast whenever Before did finally get them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he ever became the captain of the Enterprise in this universe. So are we in another universe? I mean, I know the comics aren't technically canon, but part of the comics are referenced in the 2009 movie. So where's the line between what is canon and what is not in the comic?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, are we looking at a third Star Trek universe here where they're ignoring parts of it?
Well, and here, and just going on that, riffing on that idea. So if Nero goes back in time and creates the Kelvin universe, or the Kelvinverse, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't everything get wiped out of everything that happened in not only with the original series, but also Next Gen and Voyager and all that, because it would all be rewrote.
Yeah, so is this show in the Kelvin universe?
I think it would be outside of it, and then it's hard to explain, unless somebody went back in time and changed what Nero did.
But the thing is, Nero is really mad about Spock for not saving Romulus with the thing, but Nero should have been mad at Picard for not getting the fleet together. So now there's multiple people for Nero to be mad at.
Yeah, well,
it's just like using this is getting very convoluted in the story, and I don't think they're going to answer these questions because they kind of are like fuck it, let's just do what we want to do.
Yeah,
I mean, isn't the only reason he wasn't taken out because he was stuck in a time rift?
I mean, I mean, yeah, but he was going after Spock for not saving his planet, which is why they got stuck in the time rift. But I mean, it's also Picard's fault, because it sounds like Seven of Nine is also blaming Picard for all the bad things that happened in the Federation, because there was an interview with Jerry Ryan where she's like, yeah, my character doesn't believe Picard is God like everyone else does. She kind of hates Picard and blames Picard for why the Federation is as bad as why it is. And I'm like, does she even know anything about what's happening? What they're saying your character stance is going to be doesn't make any sense.
Well, we'll have to see, because obviously there's going to be conflicting viewpoints in this show. I think it's going to be way more complicated than we think it's going to be.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I know I'm being kind of down on it, but I mean, I'm not. There is lots of potential here, but there's also lots of holes, and that's where my concern is.
Right. Well, I mean, let's face it. You know, Discovery is kind of put us on kind of like on our, you know, radar up if things are ship meter or something like that, you know, if things are as good as they should be. You know, we see glimmers of good, and then we get like, is it going to get there? Are we going to be all right? You know, so.
But honestly, overall, I think this is probably one of Star Trek's weakest season or series premieres. I mean, like, Encounter 4.0's bad, but Q kind of saves it because Q's so interesting. I was kind of bored this episode, personally, because it's just the pacing was just so monotonous.
I felt like it was just getting good, and then they were like, wait till next episode. So.
Yeah. I mean, it just started getting good, and then it got over, because I was kind of bored most of the time, and then it was like, okay, this is interesting, come on, it's going to pick up, and then it just stopped. I'm like, oh, two-hour premiere, people, please. Love of God, two-hour premieres on science fiction shows. You need them. You got to establish the world or reestablish the world or something. And again, like how we talked about when we talked about The Mandalorian, Aaron, how, you know, it was bang out the gate. It didn't try to reinvent the world. It didn't do anything. It just went. and Picard also did not go. They were also they're trying to rebuild everything. Like in Discovery, they were spending all this time rebuilding everything to make it different, and they're kind of doing the same thing in Picard.
I don't think they're trying to rebuild it. I think they're trying to pick up and trying to tell a different story. I don't feel like they're rebuilding everything. I think Discovery definitely was trying to reimagine all the Star Trek universe, and we're like, well, why do you need to go that far? But I think Picard was kind of like you're trying to tell us the story past what happened with this character 20 some years later.
I mean, it's too early to say, but that was just my initial feelings in this first episode. I mean, really have to see, because I mean, like, I am being harsh on it, but it's also so much out of context because we don't know what's going to happen. So my feelings of this first episode might shift completely depending on how the rest of the season goes. But right now, it just feels uneven.
Right? I understand. I mean, yeah. They haven't made us feel great about everything, but
I don't know. I just want Star Trek. I mean, I'm tired of forgiving Star Trek for being bad for the first couple episodes, the first couple seasons. I really want Star Trek to be good out the gate and just like blow me away and like some of the other modern shows that have just been so good from the beginning. And Star Trek.
Yeah, but Dave, if I could give a little pushback, yeah. It's like we're name me something as of recent that you think has been amazing out the gate, you know, recently that you've watched.
I guess nothing recent because I don't know what I've seen recently. I would think Game of Thrones. I was hooked on Black Sails pretty much immediately. But these are all older shows, at least like 5-6 years old. So I guess nothing super recent was like just outstanding. But I mean, recent enough. I mean, like 6-7 years isn't ancient. I mean, a couple of these shows just ended, you know? So I mean, I don't know.
I think
a lot of HBO shows were just great from the get-go. Like Dexter was great from the get-go. Sopranos was great from the get-go.
I think it sounds like second season been nixed because of the issue with the show creator, but Watchmen first season, whew, good shows, man.
I haven't seen that. I don't have HBO anymore, but
it's good. Whew, so good.
But I mean, like a lot of HBO shows, like from the get go, they're good.
Yeah, True Detective. Well, except second season, but first season and third season.
First season was pretty good. I didn't see that one.
It's so fucking good. I could watch that over and over again. It's dark as shit, but it's good.
Yeah, they had some good stuff, but that's what I'm saying. Like, all of these premium channel things, like, that's why I keep being a little bit hard on Star Trek, because, like, you know, like, a lot of the shows on Showtime and that, like, went on for more than one season, and HBO, these were great from the get-go, and Star Trek just hasn't done that, and this is on a pay subscription service that's not on regular television, you know what I mean? Like, it's a premium cost show without, like, that, oh my god, I'm hooked immediately feel that these other shows have provided. I don't know, maybe I'm just spoiled, but I just, we've so long, I mean, Robbie told us this at the beginning of The Mandalorian first episode we did, is that he just thinks it's shocking that Star Trek fans give shows like 3 seasons before they get good. We give Star Trek a long time to get good.
Right.
And like, why do we have to keep doing that? Why can't it just be good from the get-go? I don't know.
I really liked it. And I did just want to say kind of another counter to your pacing issue that you're having. When we last see Picard, he struggles with psychological, you know, memories and issues, and this is very much the same style that we left off on. It's I don't think it's a reinvention of it at all. I think it's through the years, this is how he's been dealing, and he has these dreams, and Data is his, you know, companion in his dreams, and I think that is going to be important. It's part of who he is. That's what he was struggling with when we saw him last.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I agree. And I don't think
they're reinventing Picard. I think they're reinventing the Federation in the world of Star Trek.
Well, absolutely. And that's what I think is could be absolutely fascinating, or it could be like a complete train wreck. I don't know. It's just too early to tell.
I agree. It is too early to tell. And like, you know, I haven't written off the show. I'm excited to see what's coming. I really want to see the spaceship. I love spaceship. Need some spaceships. And I don't even think the hero ship's been revealed in the trailers at all.
Yeah, you see it.
You see
at least I'm pretty sure I saw it.
You see it for a second.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, but you only get a good look at it, and we don't really
know. I know. And honestly, and then you're like, where does that old Romulan warbird from the original series take place? Like,
oh, yeah. that's also
I gotta see. I gotta see what that does. That's awesome. So
yeah, that'll be neat to see. I'm excited to get into space. I miss space Star Trek.
Anything else? I think I think we've kind of exhausted. Honestly, it sets up the characters, sets up the kind of like what the story is, but we don't know have any more substance. We're just getting little strings or little yarns to pull on here, and we don't have much to go on yet.
Yeah, little bits here and there. I mean, I'm interested. I want to know how Hugh fits into this. Is he mad that the Romulans have taken over one of the Borg ships? He seems way more liberated. He seems more like Seven of Nine as far as, like, he's lost more of his Borgdom.
It may not be a takeover of the ship. It may be a partnership.
Ooh, interesting.
Oh, they make Hugh a bad guy now?
What's great about Holly? Holly has, like, the most, like different takes. Things I wouldn't even think about. That's awesome.
That's why glad she's here. I like the different take. It makes me think. Like, that's really
interesting. I wouldn't even put that together.
Yeah. Maybe they're working on. So would that make Hugh a bad guy since Geordi's his best friend and Geordi probably blowed up? So now he's angry at the Federation for letting Geordi get him blowed up because Geordi's his best friend in a whole wide world.
Oh, my friend,
a whole wide world.
He's a whole wide world. Geordi can be in my butt anytime I want.
Geordi, you're my friend.
Maybe Geordi stopped returning Christmas cards and then they became frenemies.
Oh, no.
Geordi's like, Hugh, this is getting a little weird. I don't want to...
Maybe he got upset at seeing the video of Geordi whipping those poor workers at Utopia Planitia. He's like, Geordi,
work! Work!
He's like, Geordi, I thought you were nice to people. You are not nice to people no more. I think I might have to assimilate you.
Oh, assimilate me, baby. Well,
that's all I can think of.
I think there's a lot... There's a lot of room to play. There's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, the Romulans and the Borg, or using Borg technology, is just fascinating. This whole thing with Data's daughter, or whatever you want to call her, you know, or them, you know, that's a fascinating aspect too. So lot to chew on, a lot of fat to chew on there. And we will not know until the next couple episodes what's even going on.
Yeah, and if the rumors are true and we're Earthbound for a couple more episodes, I think we're going to be in the dark for a while.
They could be heavy on what Soji is going through, what's going on in the rest of the universe.
Right. Yeah. So, guys, let's wrap this up. I think we have some pretty cool things to look forward to. Hopefully the writers do everybody in this all these subject matters justice. That's
already with the whip. Can't wait.
All right, and with that, let's close out the show. As always, as Holly said before, if you want to contact us, you can contact us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. You can hit us up there. You can also email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can join our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/ Synthaholics, and you know, join the group there and say hi to everybody. If the show is valuable to you, please go to our Patreon.com/ Synthaholics, and you can donate there. We are been in discussion of changing some of our tiers, and I'm just going to give a brief let you know what we were thinking. One will be obviously some extra content that we'll be adding on to it, and as well we were thinking about maybe using some of our artistic skills, and if you are interested, we can basically illustrate you as a Star Trek person. So any kind of character you want to be, if you want to be a Starfleet officer, if you want to be a Borg, if you want to be a Romulan or whatever, a Binar.
Binars. 0100110011110.
Exactly. So those, look forward to that. We'll share that with the group too when we get that set up. So, and other than that, you know, as Holly said before, please share the group, share it on social media, let your friends know. It just in casual conversation, it's a great way to support the show.
Just because you like the Synthaholics doesn't mean you know, you're an alcoholic.
Maybe you are, but that's okay with us.
Doesn't have alcohol to mean it.
Has much less alcohol content.
We won't tell anybody.
It's not like we're Everclear.
Yeah.
We're Synthaclear.
Synthaclear. All right, guys. Well, as always, thanks for joining us, and live long and prosper, one and all.
Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Roots in Spain. Oh, geez.
You're going to get us in so much trouble.
Sometimes I'm like, I wish there was like a, I knew like a inner game lingo so I could just text you like some crazy buttons that means slap.
You could get him like a seat, something on his chair that you could give him, send him a shock.
You know, shock me.
You
said I should cut down on the sexual content humor, so I'm trying different things.
Starting the slave humor, yeah, that works.
Well, you know.
Piss off some of our listeners, that way.
I just thought it was funny, because you're like, oh, I wonder if Jody's in... You said Jody was in Utopia Planitia. Then they get attacked by the maybe he's dead. And then those poor guys that got killed in the thing, those kids... Maybe Jordy was being mean.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, like, if the synthetic life forms are treated as, in like servants or as slave labor or indentured servitude or any of that stuff, yeah, that's pretty shitty.
And Jordy does have a mean streak because he was a bitch to poor Scotty.
Yeah. He shouldn't have treated Scotty like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he did. Jordy does have a mean streak in him. When he's not banging holographic versions of the people that invented the Enterprise,
exactly. But
yeah, awkward.
Guys,
yes,
the dog who plays number one has an IMDb profile.
Oh jeez,
his name is De Niro.
De Niro.
De Niro the dog.
Does he have any other credits other than Picard?
No.
No.
There's not even like an actual
profile.
I bet
he's got an Instagram page.
He probably does.
Well, probably. Picard probably runs it.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. Picard, I need to look this up now.
Number one. Number one, I took you out to take a number two.
I took you out.
He's a cute dog.
Black magic.
Yeah, must have been that spell I cast.
The one back in high school.
I just been washing my hands like crazy. It was so bad when I was taking care of them. My fingers and hands were just like totally cracked. Yeah, they're just totally cracked from just washing my hands nonstop. So, anyways, how you guys been?
Moved in, mostly settled to the new place.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Are you happy with it?
Yeah, it's really great. Kaylee goes back to school tomorrow. So she's dreading that.
Oh, of course.
You should be too.
We watched all of Firefly.
Nice. You did?
Yeah, we watched Firefly.
What did she think?
She hated Heart of Gold, and she wasn't crazy about the flashback episode.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, she enjoyed it.
Did she enjoy it, or was she just like, okay?
No, I think she really liked Jane. She liked Malcolm Reynolds until... Heart of Gold, and she hates him now because she slept with the other guy, or the other prostitute.
Gotcha. gotcha. But she liked Jane. That's funny.
Yeah, she likes Jane a lot. She likes River.
I thought it was funny. Kaylee was bagging on the Mandalorian actor that he wasn't good looking enough in the last episode.
So
it's like, that's a weird standard to hold him up to. So
yeah, it was kind of funny. She's like, I was expecting someone more suave like Tony Stark, and she gets a little like caterpillar mustache man.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, anyways. Yeah, anything else? How about you, Holly? What's happening?
Oh, you know, my life's a comedy.
With a laugh track?
Healing. You guys should come and you should be my commentary on my life. It'd be funny.
It'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
David and Aaron commentary on your life. You'll have to just send us videos. This could be a Patreon reward. Just send us videos of what you do during your day, and Aaron and I can comment on it.
But right. It has to be the most mundane shit, like you're just cooking or something like that, or taking the dog out.
Picking your nose.
Seriously, yeah. So I worked 3 nights this week, and so Thursday, I worked, and I probably answered phones nonstop for about 3 hours, and then from 4:30 until 8:30, I checked one person into a cottage, and I sold 2 candies. Like, wow. I watched a Christmas movie that I had been meaning to watch.
You've been busy, you mean.
Literally did fucking nothing. And then the next day, it was very similar. I wasn't on the phones at all, though. So I sat at the front desk, and I did fucking nothing. And yesterday, same deal. It was just like, it's just ridiculous. But it's winter. It's winter for you. Still dieting. Feel like crap because we ate a ton of carbs today. But I haven't had any alcohol for 18 days.
Ooh, that's a long streak for you.
It's a very long streak for me.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's cool.
You probably feel like crap from withdrawal, not so much you had carbs. Carbs are good for you.
No, like, I literally had 0 fiber at all today. I had breakfast. So breakfast this morning was smoked eggs. Mm. Gluten-free everything bagel with
420 eggs?
Oh, you lost me on the gluten-free. Yeah.
Well, okay, everything bagel with cream cheese and smoked salmon.
Ooh, wow, let's look at you. Wow.
Yeah, and turkey bacon. And so we just had the leftovers for dinner.
That's
so
like a truck driver breakfast right there.
Yeah.
The breakfast of champion truck drivers.
Yeah. So for the last, 18 days, I've been eating really only vegetables and protein and a little bit of carbs here and there. But today I had 2 bagels and hash browns and cheese. And so I feel like poo.
Oh, man.
Just mix some cocaine in there. It'll be good.
Okay. Give me the cocaine. Yeah, no, I'm totally not having withdrawals from alcohol.
Cocaine. I'm having withdrawals from cocaine.
Yeah, I kind of want to get more, what do you want to call it, more vegetables and fruits in my diet for this year. I think it would be good.
I try to eat at least a salad a day. Sometimes I have 2 or 3 salads a day.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Good for you, man.
That is good.
Well, a chicken salad is like my primary meal at work, usually. Mm-hmm. And then I have like a chicken and rice or a beef and rice or a something else in rice, or sausage and rice. Yeah, it's like pretty much that. It's like same meal every day as the chicken and chicken salad.
Don't you hate vegetables?
I do hate most vegetables. Salad's mostly okay because it's mostly lettuce. And lettuce is tolerable. Lettuce
used to be like, well, what was it like we would eat when we'd eat together at Yahoo? You'd be like, because I'd be eating like some vegetable and you'd be like, how can you eat that?
Yeah, I'm really bad at that. It's not so much the flavor of vegetables. I mean, sometimes it is. Sometimes the texture, right? The texture like is like shin shivers down my spine. Like, I don't know if you ever same thing with like shrimp. Like the texture of shrimp is like just like makes me like it's like nails on a chalkboard, but in my mouth.
Strange. I the only texture I don't particularly like is just carrots.
Carrots have to be shredded.
Yeah, I love shredded carrots. I could eat shredded carrots all day long, but don't give me a full like carrot stick because I'm like, ugh. I mean, I'll eat it if I have to, but it's not my not what I love.
I have to chase it if I eat a carrot stick. I have to chase it. I can't eat it because it's just like weird sand in my mouth.
Do you guys ever have parsnips?
Parsnips.
Parsnips are like white carrots, and they're just, like very bitter.
Ugh, that sounds awful.
My mom used to
cook parsnips.
Yeah, but yeah. I never got raw. Well, never raw. Yeah, I don't. I've had them cooked. They've been steamed or what have you.
Yeah, we're just like last podcast on the left, having all these food talks in the outtakes.
My mom used to make parsnips all the time, and it was like, oh, it was like the worst.
That sounds miserable, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's very bad.
It's like a carrot, but worse. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. let me see. So obviously you talked Picard. Is there anything else we want to talk about?
Did you watch the Children of Mars short video?
I did see that. Mm-hmm.
The short tracks have been also pretty blech.
They did they played Bowie's Heroes on top of it, but I think it was sung by Peter Gabriel.
I think we should touch on it because it ties into Picard's past, because it sort of ties into the comics, sort of, which you guys talked about. So, I mean, I think we should mention it.
The episode, like, it doesn't, like, the comic doesn't talk about Mars at all, but it does tie in.
I think it's going to later.
Probably. I don't know. We'll find out in 3 days.
Yeah.
That's so weird that the comics after the show started.
Yeah.
It's a weird pushback. But yeah. I think we should touch on Children of Mars just because it is the only short track that ties into Picard, sort of, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
That's blatantly obvious. Anyway, so. Other than that, I don't really have anything.
Did you, what was I going to say?
Although there is a rumor going around, we're not going to see the spaceship until after episode 3. They're going to be Earthbound for the first 3 episodes.
They're just going to be stuck on Earth for
3 episodes. That's the rumor going around. Presumably, reviewers got to see the first 3 episodes, and from what early reviewers are saying, that they're still on Earth at the end of episode 3.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm just like, I think not having a ship is killing me. I think that's a lot of my issue with it.
Interesting.